Hello there, and welcome to another Morning Manna. My name is Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure and honor to be able to take you through the Bible. We've been going through 1 John, and we're coming up on the end of chapter 4, getting ready to head into, the end of chapter 3 into chapter 4. Last week, we saw how we could spot a counterfeit, or as John put it, a false prophet. The first thing we see is, do they confess that Jesus has come in the flesh? That's a common, slight, false belief that is perpetrated. And John was writing against this. Second thing we see is, are we hearing the word of God? And not just letting the words go into our brain and rattle around in our eardrum canal, but are we receiving them, understanding them, and acting on them? And so are we putting what we hear into action? So it's really not just a checklist of do this, don't do that. Instead of a checklist, it's more of a checkup. When John's asking, do you hear the word? What he's saying is similar to what the psalmist said in Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So this idea of hearing the word, are we hearing it, allowing it to impact us, and then acting in it, allowing it to judge us rather than for us to judge it? Another way that we'll see today that we can spot a false prophet is in verse 5. In verse 5 it says, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. So get that, right? They speak to the world, and the world hears them. So they're not speaking to believers. They're speaking in the language of the world, which is different than the language of a believer. And it's a very subtle thing until you get to studying the original, much like the counterfeit bill. If you study the legitimate, you'll soon be able to spot the counterfeit. And so that's what we see here, is John's encouraging us to make sure that we are hearing the word of God and hearing for what they're saying and who they're speaking to. Okay, so then we see that beyond this, how to spot a false prophet, we have this interesting phrase in verse 4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And really what we have here is we have the power for the believer. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it's not an obscure doctrine by any means. And it is also another means of false prophets or heretics. But we see in John 16:13, Jesus speaking to his disciples before he ascends. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but wherever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And then we see in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then again in Galatians 4:6, and there's more of these, but these few really touch right on the point. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So this ability for us to recognize God for who he is, once we receive the Holy Spirit, once we believe on Jesus, is the power that allows us to do what we hear. So it's not a checklist of, oh, I need to get up in the morning and tick the prayer and all of the rest, all those other spiritual disciplines for the sake of doing that. No, that flows out of the power of the Holy Spirit who's dwelling in us. And so we see that power was given to us as promised by Jesus prior to his ascension. And we see that's recorded in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues, as of fire, appeared to them, and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so, it's this indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to see the Word of God, and to hear the Word of God, and to speak as a child of God. And without that, we're just kind of going through the motions, right? Which brings us to, we'll finish up this chapter and get into the next in verses 4:7-5:3. And so we'll read that here real quick. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. For he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior into the world, as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God, that the love God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment. Because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And so that's a big chunk of scripture, but we see a lot of things here. We see first the source of love is God. We also see the focus of God's love. It's orientated towards us, which is amazing that God's powerful omnipotence can focus his love on us, and that's amazing to me. We see also the purpose of this love, which is sacrifice and serving and loving one another. And then we see that God is love, which is also amazing, that this isn't some kind of squishy, sentimental emotion when we see that God is love. It's a choice, and it's a choice to act in the interest of others. And so it's a choice to sacrifice and serve. And so it's this type of love that casts out fear. And I think one of the biggest fears that we have besides public speaking might be FOMO, which is the fear of missing out. And so for me, I don't want you to miss out on God's blessings. And so the final thing that we see is our motivation to love, which is that he first loved us. And that's the manifestation of his love. And we could go deeper into this. I would encourage a home study on that. But really, the encouraging thing is he initiated this love, and he sustains the covenant that we're in, and it was initiated at the cross. And so our hearts can trust him, and we can let him in. And so be blessed and have a great rest of your day.